Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. One of the most important things you can do for your success is to create an epic plan. And in today's episode, you will learn about how to create one of the best plans available, more specifically, an effective 100-day plan. And you'll also learn how to accomplish what you put into that plan. So today's guest is a highly sought keynote speaker, trainer, and founder of 360 Management Services, LLC. He has over 40 years of leadership experience at Fortune 100s and most recently served as the Chief Executive Officer and Director for Unitech Global Services after retiring from a 36-year career with UPS. Today's guest from episode 126 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Rocky Romanella. Rocky, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, Mark, it's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to speaking with you and your audience, and I'm honored to be number 126.
And I greatly appreciate you sharing all these great insights, which we are about to dive into, but just before we do that, I'd love to get some backstory. So what first ignited the 100-day plan for you? Like, why 100 days? How did this start?
Well, as I was moving throughout my career and taking on new responsibilities or new assignments, I felt like one of the things that happens is, and entrepreneurs, it happens to a lot, where you start out with a vision, a goal, and a mission, and you've got this great business that you think is going to be successful. But what happens is you get pulled in different directions based on things that are happening maybe in the marketplace or maybe some unintended consequences to your decisions or the situation that you're in. And so I felt like early on in my career, I said, you know what, let me sit down and lay out what I'd like to accomplish in my first 100 days. And with that thought process, I said, look, if I can go back once a week, every 10 days at the longest, and make sure that I'm staying true to this plan, that I'm not getting pushed and pulled too far in either one direction, you know, I'll create this balance. I talk a lot later on in my book, and I also talk a lot about this concept of balanced leadership. And so for me, it was a way to stay balanced, to make sure that the key constituents are represented, and I didn't get myself too far off of the goals and vision of what I wanted to try to accomplish. So I set out this 100-day plan. I start that, you know, in every one of my new assignments. And then what happens is, when I took on the role of CEO, I sat down, laid out my 100-day plan. I gave that 100-day plan to the board of directors that hired me, to my senior staff that was now I was working with. And so it kind of kept me on plan.
And with this, planning is definitely something very important. And I can see how it would help you stay focused and have that sense of where you're heading. But in order to craft an effective plan, before we go specific into like 100-day plans, we do have to get clear on what we're trying to achieve. So how can we get clear on the goals that we should be heading towards? Not just like the goals that we have right now, but what are the goals that we should be heading towards, and how do we get clear on them?
Okay, well, for me, it starts with this concept of balanced leadership, that in the decisions that you make and the view that you take on, you know, conquering certain things, whether it's the beginning of a new business or taking on additional business, or to me, it's about customers, people, and stakeholders. And so in my 100-day plan and in all the things I do, I always try to find this balance. So for example, when I laid out my 100-day plan, when I took on the role of CEO, I laid out on the customer side that I wanted to visit our top three customers in each of our verticals. If I'm a new business owner, for example, take when I started the company here at 360 Management Services, we have three legs of our stool. We have keynote speaking, as you noted, we have leadership training, but we also have consulting. And so I wanted to lay out, you know, what I want to make sure that I understand what the customers need in each of those three verticals. So in my first 100 days, I wanted to at least sit and talk with a customer who's a potential for our keynote speak, a customer potential for our leadership training, and then some customers that are potentially that we could do consulting with. When it comes to our people, for example, when I was at Unitech, I wanted to make sure I visit our largest facilities. I wanted to make sure I visited those, you know, facilities that maybe were our smallest ones, so that I could get a sense of what their needs are, and maybe get a sense of what, you know, how are we doing from an employee relations point of view. And then, of course, on the share owner side, that's your profitability, that's your ability to, you know, have free cash flow and to run a very efficient business. And so when I lay out my 100-day plan, I lay it out to make sure all three constituents are represented, and it gives me that balance. And I would say that same thing happens to an entrepreneur when you're laying out, okay, I have to lay out my customers and who are they, the people that are that I'm working with or maybe in my business, and then, of course, my profitability, my efficiency, and make sure those three are always represented.
And it's interesting how you have a very clear idea of what your goals are and what's driving your bottom line. Like, there are people who, we have so many different tasks in front of us, but we're never really focusing on our revenue generating opportunities, which just based on this starting line of our conversation, it seems like you're really focusing on what's going to drive you revenue. But one of the things with plan setting and more goal setting in general also is that you can set a really big target for yourself, and I'd rather have a big target than a small target, but if you don't accomplish the goal, you could feel unmotivated. You could set the target smaller. So how do you suggest we determine what we can do within our 100-day goals? Like, for instance, maybe you, it may be too much for me to ask you to contact 1 million potential clients in 100 days. So how do you determine what your 100-day goals are within that plan, so you're more likely to accomplish them, but they're also challenging?
Well, it starts with the thought process of asking this simple question: is it a need to do thing or a want to do thing? I think many times people come up with 20, 30 goals. Some of those goals are nice to do things, but when you start a business or you start a new assignment or your business is in a particular place where it needs something to make it go in the right direction, you have to understand, is it a need to do thing or want to do things? Need to do things are generally things, for example, under customers. I have to understand my customer churn, my customer acquisition, and my customer satisfaction, in a sense of, you know, our customers are happy with the business they're doing with me. On the people side, it's people. It could be turnover. You know, are my people in a good place because they represent the brand? And so I look at it from that perspective. And then it could be safety. You know, I want to make sure that we have a safe place, and that safety is a core value in our business, and to make sure that people clearly understand that we're going to act safe, we're going to work safely here. And then on the share owner side, then it really comes down to, you know, your profitability. Am I creating this positive operating leverage where my revenue is growing faster than my expenses? Something as simple as that. So for me, I never generally have more than 8 what I call dashboard elements that I really look at, you know, kind of things as you're driving down the highway, you're looking at your dashboard and it's telling you you're running out of gas and those. So that's my leading indicator. So I have generally no more than 8 leading indicators. And as I said before, it could be as simple as customer, you know, new customers acquired, could be customer churn, did I lose any customers, and could be revenue per piece, for example. Those could be those three on the customers. On the people, it could be turnover and safety or paid day. You know, my people working 8.5, 9 hours, or they work in 12 hours, you know, something like that. And then on the profitability, it could be, you know, percent increase in revenue, percent increase in cost kind of idea. And am I creating positive operating leverage? I think the mistake people make too often is, as you said, they have these lofty goals. And to your point, you're not going to visit 1 million customers. But there are key customers that are a good indication of the representation of your large customer base.
And I mean, that's a really great idea of what to basically do with those 100-day goals, and to make all this stuff happen and create all this progress. And one of the things about any type of goal setting, like, when most people think about goal setting, I feel like a lot of people think about New Year's resolutions. So in January, you're setting the goal, and then a lot of people give up on New Year's resolutions in February. And I feel like part of that is because they don't know what to do, or they don't want to take the action to get from where they are now to their desired state. And what I love about the 100-day goals is that it's far enough out to give yourself a really big goal, but it's close enough where you realize you got to hustle. So what do you do to determine the daily actions that you need to be taking to achieve these goals?
I think that's a very good question, because I think it's those small successes that keep you on your 100-day plan, but it's also those small successes that keep you on your, you know, New Year's resolution, as you said. So I think that that's the key, right? So by having these dashboard elements that are very trackable, right? Because the problem is if you think about it for a second, if you're tracking profitability, well, it may take you 6 weeks before you close out your books. Or if your finances are done on a quarterly basis, I mean, you're going to have 120, 125 days before you know whether you made your plan or not. So by having these leading indicators of indices that you can look at on a daily, weekly basis, you know that you're doing well. It's sort of like if you're on a diet and if you never get on the scale for 90 days, you may start to lose your energy and enthusiasm for this new diet you're on, or if you're going to the gym for the first time, right? But if you're starting to see results and you're starting to feel good about yourself, then it kind of motivates you, right? So it's the same with this 100-day plan. You have your dashboard element and you're seeing that, yeah, you know, I said that we were going to try to gain, you know, we were going to try to gain one new customer a week. And right now, we've 4 weeks in, we've got five customers. Well, you're pumped up. Or, well, we only have three, but we're only one away. That's the kinds of things that self-motivates you, and you start to, you kind of build that internal enthusiasm and you keep that energy level up. So I think that's so important that you have little guidelines along the way that you can celebrate.
And I love how you mentioned the energy level and the enthusiasm, because it's very important to have a high level of energy and enthusiasm when we are approaching our goals. And obviously it's easier to have the energy and enthusiasm when you're heading in the right direction. So if you want to get in touch with, like, let's say 100 people in 100 days, and you've gotten in touch with 80 people in 50 days, you're feeling really good about yourself and the overall progress you're hitting. Like, maybe you expand that goal, but on the opposite side of the coin, you set a goal, but maybe you have a slow start. So like the Breakthrough Success Podcast, this was the third attempt of mine to start a podcast, and I felt really demoralized when I was not able to follow up on my goal of starting a podcast, which were my two bad attempts, and those were literally like separated by years. So for years I've wanted to have a podcast, and now I finally have this one. But the point is, people will set goals for themselves, they feel like they're moving slow in the start, and that demoralizes them. So how do you go from that state to having that high level of energy and enthusiasm again for that goal?
Well, I think, as I said before, I mean, success breeds success. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to your energy and your enthusiasm. And it's going to be, you know, your ability to drive change. You know, if it's important to you, it becomes important to all the people in your care or the people who work for you. And it starts with you, right? It looks, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that leaders make, whether it's in a single proprietor business or whether it's in a Fortune 50 company with 400,000 employees. It's not about you. It's about the people you're leading, or it's about the customers you're interacting with. And the problem is that we sometimes start to have that come upon ourselves, right? So think about, you know, today you're successfully having your 126 podcasts. That's fantastic. Congratulations. But two or three years ago, whatever that time frame was, you started and stopped twice. Well, if you think about some of the starts and stops, it really was more about you than anyone else. Things weren't going the way you wanted them to go. Maybe there was a disruption in your personal life or your business life, and you got yourself off track. And so it really is that self-motivation. So when you look at many times why a person fails, it starts with the person in the mirror that they're looking at. You know, was I ready for this? Did I clearly understand what were the things that I was trying to accomplish? Did I overcommit? I mean, to your point before, people make these commitments on these goals that they think, okay, the famous saying we all grew up with, oh, I'll reach for the moon and maybe I'll touch the stars or whatever it is. Well, you know what? That gets old if you keep landing on the ground and not touching anything. So there's got to be that balance of success. You feel good about yourself. You celebrate the successes. You create that behavior that makes you feel good about yourself. And too often we put ourselves in a position not to be successful. And so then, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, I guess I'm not going to get there. You know, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll do something else maybe it wasn't meant to be. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's everyone else. I think you really got to lay out, are the goals the right goals? Can I achieve them? And then when I start to get my successes, I celebrate them.
And you mentioned, again, the importance of celebrating success, which is something I feel like we are really, really bad at, especially high achievers, where you hit the goal, you're celebrating it maybe for a day, other people maybe just a few hours, and then you're on to the next thing. So I'd recommend giving yourself more time to celebrate, not like taking several weeks off or anything crazy like that, but just acknowledge yourself when you do accomplish that goal, when you do get that little win on the way towards the ultimate goal. And by doing that, you'll definitely boost your energy and enthusiasm as you head towards that goal. But obviously, as we head towards our goals, we don't accomplish all of them. Some of us are feeling stuck right now for a goal that we're going after. And a lot of this has to do with not realizing our full potential. So Rocky, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Well, I think a couple things, but just to wrap up with the question, I'll give people two things to think about from the goal side, and it also ties in a little bit about with your question here on holds you back. Number one is, don't let your highs get too highs and your lows get too lows. That's one of the problems, right? So if things are going really well, don't be the person that's, you know, spiking the ball and acting like they've never been in the end zone before, and vice versa the other side. You know, when things are, there's going to be those days where nothing you touch works and it seems like you just can't get out of your own way. It's, you know, walk up to the plate and yesterday it looked like a beach ball the pitcher was throwing. Today it looks like a marble. So don't let your highs get too high and your lows get too low. I think that's so important. I had a fifth grade nun, Sister Judith, who used to always say to us, it's not where you are, it's where you are from where you started that counts. And if you think about it, right, 126 podcasts may not sound like a lot if you're talking about Tony Robbins. But for Mark, where you are from where you started, 126 is probably huge. So sometimes you have to take that from where you are, from where you started, as very important. And I think that once you understand those two, then you start, you know, you start to take the governors off yourself. You start to look outside yourself. You start to think about, well, what can happen? And then you start to think like this. Well, someone's going to be the best at these podcasts. Why not me, Mark? Someone's going to be the best at this new business. Why not me? Once you start thinking like that, then you start to open up. So don't become your own governor. Don't become the person that throttles back yourself, right? That starts with great energy and enthusiasm, but before the day's over, you're saying, well, you know what, this or that, or but before you know it, you've come up with all the reasons why you're not going to be successful. So I think it starts with understanding, hey, don't let my highs get too high and my lows get too low so that my emotions don't swing so vastly that it becomes a detriment. And second, always when you're starting to feel like, boy, I thought I'd be farther than this, take a step back every now and then and look at, where am I from where I started? Wow, I'm not doing such a bad job. Okay, put my head down, start chopping wood and have some fun and stay focused. And I think that it opens up your ability to see things from a wider perspective and start to feel good about yourself. It's never going to be perfect, right? And by the way, not only are high performers, but it's also we deal with exceptions, right? We're always dealing with exceptions. We're dealing with the least best performer in our business or the customer that has the complaint. But there's, you know, I might have 10 customers in my business and 9 of them are extremely happy, but I'm always dealing with the one that I seem to be struggling with or have a problem with. Well, all you're talking to all the time is that one customer. Well, every now and then it's good to go reach out to the 9 good customers and thank them for their business. Same with employees. You know, you always seem to be dealing with that one employee who's a problem. But there's 10, 20, 30 other ones that are really doing a good job every day that need a, hey, thanks, keep up the good work. Really appreciate all you do on behalf of our business. That, I think, is so important.
And, I mean, you really hit on a really strong point, which is to thank the people like employees, people who have helped you. I don't feel like we're doing enough of that, and that could go for all of us, where we should be taking more time to thank the people who have helped us. And I know that was one of the end notes towards that question, but that's something that really struck me, because I'm thinking about all the people who have helped me achieve my success, and I thank them every once in a while, but there are a few people I'm thinking of right now who I definitely need to thank very soon. So thank you, Rocky, for giving us that really powerful insight. That's definitely something I'm going to be doing a lot more.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I wrote the book, Tighten the Lug Nuts, the book started out with this concept I have of what does it mean to be a good leader? And so for me, it's about this concept of legacy. Do you leave things a little better than you found it? Are people better because of their time with you? Are your customers better because they did business with you? Are the share owners, do they feel like their business, you know, was in good hands because of you? And so to me, it's about this concept of legacy. So that began the process of writing the book. And then I sat down and said, well, you know, who is Rocky Romanella? Well, Rocky Romanella is a combination of a lot of wonderful people over the years, but two most important people, my dad, who was such a huge influence on me as a child, and my wife, Debbie, who's been such a marvelous influence, mentor, friend, partner in my adult life. And so the book, in many ways, while it's a leadership book and it's a book about being a good leader and what's it take to be a good leader. And let's face it, we're all leaders at one time or another, whether we're a Little League coach or softball coach, soccer, PTA. It's more than just the title of CEO or manager. And so the book gave me a chance to recognize and thank two very informal, very, very influential people in my life in this formal way, but in an informal way, kind of gave me a way to say thanks to my dad, who's since passed, but and my wife, Debbie, who's just a wonderful partner and friend and mentor for me along the way. And so everyone will have their way of doing that. I'm not suggesting that you got to write a book to say thanks, but we do have to take the time to let people know that, hey, you made a difference in my life, and I appreciate that. And you know, sometimes when I'll make a decision, I'll call up one of the individuals who was, you know, influenced my life and say, hey, you know, Bud, you know, I work for this gentleman, Bud Yard, who was just a great, great person, one of the most professional people I ever met, and just a great person, someone that people, I don't think anybody would ever say they would never work for Bud. And every now and then I'll find myself make a decision and I'll call a Bud and I say, you know, Bud, I said, you know, I made this decision and, you know, it's been well received inside the organization and everyone's all excited, but you know what? I never would have made this decision if I hadn't worked for you. So it's something like that, I think, that goes a long way sometimes in saying thank you.
And it's one of those small acts of kindness that really does produce a big difference to the person who you are saying thank you to. And I mean, these people, they do help us in a variety of ways. They help us out of some of the challenges that we're facing. And with challenges in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, we all have those challenges along the way. I mean, the initial challenge for me was, you know, moving, right? I came from a very old-fashioned Italian family here in New Jersey. And, you know, it was scary to move. We had four children and, you know, but Debbie always said to us, look, if this is what we're going to do, we have to make it fun and make it a challenge. And so, and make an adventure for the kids. And so for me, that was a difficult part is, you know, that balance of the career, but I wanted to make sure I provided as a dad and parent the right the right environment for my kids and my family. And we have four beautiful kids, not two grandkids, two more on the way, but so that to me was always the challenge. Now, my dad told me when I first started working for UPS that stuck with me. He said, you know, I told him I got the job at UPS. I was a part-timer unloading trailers. And he said to me two things. He said, learn your job and then learn some more. And then whatever they ask you to do, say yes and thank you. So it was a combination of my dad's early, you know, things that he taught me. And then Debbie, as an adult, that helped me get through the difficulty of, okay, UPS, you know, said, hey, we got this opportunity for you in Chicago. That was our first big move. We had just two young kids at the time. And, you know, what should I do? And I remember my dad saying, whatever they ask you to do, say yes and thank you. And Deb saying, look, if we're going to do this, we'll do it together as a family, you know, and we'll make it an adventure. And so we ended up with nine moves across the country. But so that was the difficulty of it, was this whole concept of, am I doing the right thing for my family? Am I doing, is this really what I, you know, and then I'm leaving my family. Like, you know, as I said, an old fashioned Italian kid, like my mom looked at me like, what kid, who leaves the house? What Italian son leaves the house when there's perfectly no reason to leave? So it was, you know, how do you get through those things? And so we made it an adventure and we always found a way to make sure our kids were close with their cousins back here in New Jersey. And so that to me was that challenge to get over. But I really did it with my wife and partner, friend, who helped us through that. So I think the thing I learned in that was also don't be afraid to ask for help. If you know, every decision you do not have to make by yourself. Now, sometimes when you're sitting in, you know, you ultimately have to be the final decision maker. But more times than not, it's your ability to get some good collective thoughts. You know, surround yourself with people who are caring people and thoughtful people who make the right decisions because they're the right things to do. And then you find that you tend to make some better decisions. And I learned that through this whole process.
And I love how you turned it into an adventure. And I mean, being a parent, having children, obviously something I can't relate to, but it's something that is temporary. It slips like the sand on your fingers. So I appreciate you always it's like always thinking about the family, and that's something that we should all be doing. And you turned it into an adventure. That's something we should be looking. We should view some of the challenges we face as adventures, and it definitely makes them a lot easier for us to go through those challenges.
Well, this one I have to give my wife the credit for it. So she was the one who said, look, if we're going to do this, you got to make it an adventure or don't do it. And don't go in, you know, don't go in with this thought. You know, it's like a person who starts a business a lot of times, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm at the pool. They said, we're going to the pool. I mean, I got my bathing suit on. I'm wandering around the pool, but I just keep dipping my toe in the pool. And the problem is that if you do that, you're either going to get pushed in or you're going to jump in and you're not ready. And so you have to decide, if I'm going to do this, then I have to do it with all of my energy and enthusiasm. I have to do it with all the things that, you know, go in for, you know, I want to do it. You know, and I always use the word enthusiasm, because to me, hard work without enthusiasm is just that, hard work. It gets old. So there's that measure of enthusiasm and energy that you have to provide. And if you don't, it's just going to get old fast. And so whether it's moving, or whether it's starting a new job, or whether it's a new assignment within, you know, UPS and moving around, or now when I took on the role of CEO or now starting this company, you've got to decide, hey, if I'm going to do this, someone's going to be the best at it. Why not me? And I'm going to do it with 100% of my energy and enthusiasm.
And I could totally see the enthusiasm throughout our interview, which one of the things that you've been able to do is write the book, Tighten the Lug Nuts, The Principles of Balanced Leadership, which is available on Amazon. But one of the questions I enjoy asking, because I'm a really big bookworm, what are three great books that you can think of that would have a positive impact on us?
Well, the one, my favorite book, but after my book, was a book written by a gentleman by the name of Dennis Snow, and he wrote Lessons from the Mouse. And it's a great book about his time at Disney. And I've met Dennis and talked to Dennis. He's a great, great individual. And so that's a great book. And he talks about how everything speaks and everything you do speak. So I think that would be a great book. I had the opportunity to spend 4 hours with the legendary coach, John Wooden. And in fact, I have some YouTube videos up, and then I think one of the videos, I actually have a clip from my time with Coach Wooden. Coach Wooden, outstanding individual. In any of the books from Coach Wooden are outstanding. He talks about his pyramid of success, how it's hard work, and he calls it industriousness. I call it enthusiasm, but then he works his way up the pyramid to what I think is a great term, competitive greatness. And competitive greatness is being your best when your best is needed. And what a great way of putting it. I think that's a great book. And then the one that I always find is great is by Ken Blanchard, Raving Fans. I mean, that whole concept of creating raving fans. And so I think those would be three books that I kind of enjoy. I'm actually in a couple books, the book by UPS, Driving Change. I'm interviewed in that book, which is pretty cool. And I'm actually in the book, World is Flat, which is an interesting book as well. And so that's Milton Friedman, I guess. So those would only be cool because I'm in the book. But I think the three books I would recommend, or anything by Coach Wooden, is, I think, about 7 books now. He's since has passed. But then there's Dennis Snow with Lessons from the Mouse and Raving Fans from Ken Blanchard.
Rocky, thank you for those excellent book recommendations. I'll definitely be sure to add some of those to my reading list and Breakthrough Success Listeners. If you want to add those books to your list and see the show notes, you can head over to markaberry.com/E126. And before we wrap up this episode of Breakthrough Success, I'd love to flip the tables a little bit. So, Rocky, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but What do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
So I would say there's three questions. So it's not one, but it's kind of one under an umbrella three. So the first question is, who am I? What do I stand for? And then the most important question is, what won't I compromise? And so as you travel throughout your journey in life, those three things are going to be so important. So who is Mark? What does he stand for? But most importantly, and the thing that you will get challenged on, Mark, is what won't you compromise? And what are the things that Mark will not compromise? It's the quality, you know, of your broadcast, or it's the integrity of your broadcast as when it comes from the honesty of your broadcast, or you know, is it factual? Right. So those are the things that are so critical. And so I would say, who am I? What do I stand for? And what won't I compromise as an individual? And the same for an entrepreneur when they're starting their business. You know, who are we as a business? What do we stand for as a business? And what won't we compromise as a business? So, for example, if you and I were starting a restaurant, we'd answer those questions. The first two would be easy, right? Who are we? Yeah, we're an Italian restaurant. What do we stand for? Good food. All right, that's great so far. But what won't we compromise? Now, that's the question. Is it, you know, that we only use fresh food, but this food is kind of a day old, but it looks good. Nah, let's look the other way. Well, now we just compromised who we are, what we stand for. So I would say those three kind of under one question: who we are, what we stand for, and what we won't compromise.
Rocky, thank you for those great questions. Food for thought as we ponder them and think about basically. And I really like how those questions all tie together under that one umbrella, with that idea of this is my identity and these are some of the things that I cannot let enter. Like, these are things that I'm not going to compromise on. And you shared so many great insights throughout our time together about crafting epic 100-day plans and seeing them to completion. And Breakthrough Success Listeners, if you want to learn more about Rocky, see some of the things he's doing, don't forget to get his book, Tighten the Lug Nuts, The Principles of Balanced Leadership. That is available on Amazon. Great read. I do recommend it. Rocky, I can't thank you enough for being a guest and sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, Mark, it was my pleasure. And if your audience has any questions or would like to interact with myself or members of my team, we also have a website, www.60managementservices.com. I get quite a few questions on there, or people ask me a question, or you can actually order the book off the website as well. But if there's some interaction you want, or potentially need a speaker or some leadership training, feel free to visit us on our website as well. But I appreciate the talk today, and I think you did an outstanding job.
Thank you, Rocky. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweets.